Well, welcome. Great to gather together with us on this Sunday before Christmas. I mean, well, they say as you get older, time scoots along quicker, and I guess I qualify for the older part, but it sure scoots along. Do you believe it? Christmas is here. It's Christmas week. And excited to celebrate with you, and we invite you to join in all the goings on to celebrate the birth of our Savior. But just welcome to each one this morning. Before we get into our message, just real quick for the morning, I just want to take a moment and just on behalf of Kathy and I, and of course the whole staff here, we just want to let you know that we indeed thank God for each of you. We have received from you guys continually so much love and support, and just such a family God is doing around here, and the family feeling all. And so we thank God for each of you, and just want to say that we indeed do pray that you have a really blessed Christmas. And again, come join some of the festivities around here if you're able to. Well, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. You know there's one or two passages I could turn to, right? Christmas morning, so you know, no one's going, really? Luke chapter 2, important that we consider again the important Christmas message. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Got to jump in verse 1. Luke 2, verse 1. May we never get tired of this story. May we never get used to the fact that God broke into time. He sent his son. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, let's stop right there for a moment. The time had come. After all those decades and centuries and all, and the prophecies that foretold and all the things leading up to it, the time had come. So out goes this angel. God has a message for the people. And the time had come to deliver that good news, that message. The angel of the Lord is now dispatched. If you expected something real off track, just wearing something, you're going to be disappointed. Because I believe we should soak in and rejoice in the Christmas story. So I'm going to invite all of us. We're going to, and I just feel led to join those shepherds once again. As they and us are the recipients of the best message ever sent. Let's read it. Verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Could have called this message many things, but just going to zero in on that declaration where they said they had good tidings for everyone. I've called our time together this morning, the good news of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, forbid it from us taking for granted this awesome, awesome message, this awesome declaration. Father, you sent your son. And all that comes with receiving the gift of Jesus and all the love behind it. Lord, help us this morning to look at this in a fresh way. Help us lay hold of it in a fresh way, Lord. Work in us and through us through it all, Lord. What an important, important truth. So, Lord, we look to your word now. Help us not just do this in a academic way, but, Lord, with our hearts. Help us look to and once again just be rejoicing in the good news of Christmas. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, going to work through the message, but I want to go back to a few verses right before that to kind of help us set the table. Go to verse 7 for a moment. Interesting how much can be contained in just a few words when God's doing it. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Think of that. See, at that moment, everything changed. God came. This is what's called the incarnation. In Philippians, Paul writes about how the Lord humbled himself, took on the form of man. It's the incarnation. And at this moment, it's happening. God has arrived. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus, she brought forth her firstborn son. Think of that. Who came? The King came. What came? Hope came. What comes with him? Salvation came. Don't get used to it. But let's once again rejoice it. See, everything changes for us because of that truth. That God came. If we receive the one who came. If we receive the one who lies there in the manger. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they said, no big deal, let's go back to work. And they were greatly afraid. Can't blame them, can we? Not your everyday event. But why did God come to shepherds? You might think it would be all this fanfare coming to just, you know, to the king, the royalty or something. But he comes to shepherds. We're not told directly why. But maybe it's because God wants us to know that right from the beginning that we're like sheep. But the good shepherd had come. The one who was going to save us, the one who's there to guide and lead us and comfort us in all we go through. The great shepherd we all need had arrived. So it's fitting that it was declared to shepherds. It's really great to consider how God chose to announce his arrival, not to the rich, not to just the famous, not to the elite, not to some special person or group out there, but to some lowly shepherds in the field. Point is, it's to everyday people doing everyday things. Right in the midst of their life circumstances, God breaks through. He inserts himself right in there. Showing us that he's for everyone. Shepherds were looked down upon. Their very work made them considered, they were considered unclean by the elite, but not unclean to God. God came to them. He was willing to come to them. He is for everyone. Why at night? Again, we're not told. But it's interesting to think about that, Jesus being born at night. Perhaps it's to be a sort of living out or demonstration of Jesus coming as the light into this dark world. Think of the darkness we were in before Jesus got hold of us. And think of the darkness, the condition, the spiritual darkness this world was in. But then light broke through that night. Right at that moment, an angel is dispatched. Now, God said, now, go declare these things. What's the message that he brings? Let's read it. And rejoice in it. Verse 10. It begins with the declaration, do not be afraid. The immediate context, of course, is that they were not to be frightened by the angel. Again, not your everyday event. You can see why they might have been very startled. They're out there taking care of the sheep, maybe sitting around the campfire or something, and wham, there's an angel. But right away, the angel says, don't be afraid. But I believe the do not be afraid of the Christmas message is meant to go far beyond just calming the immediate shepherd's fears. Do not be afraid. The Christmas message helps us know we don't have to be afraid anymore. The number one fear, if you talk to so many people, the number one fear in life, and you interview people and discuss them, is the fear of death. Maybe you had that fear before Jesus got hold of you. Is there any life after what we call death? If so, what's it about? Is there heaven? How can I get there? All the fear. A lot of people have the fear of death. Don't have to be afraid of death any longer. He solved that for us, huh? Not that it's fun to lay aside these things sometimes, the process we might go through in that process. But we reassure the real us that lives inside here. If we receive Christ, we have a sure destiny. Thank God for that. You can get excited. But we have a sure destiny. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of loneliness. Another very high-ranking fear of people. For we have the truth that he will never leave us or forsake us. For all believers, he takes up residence He doesn't leave. Thank God for that. We don't have to be afraid of having a life with no purpose. Many of us have that fear of, what's life about? Is there even a reason? Is it going to live and die? And what would it really have been for? We don't have to be afraid of meaninglessness. But he gives us purpose in life. Do not be afraid. God is the cure for the deep down fears that we all face. Scripture tells us, of course, that perfect love casts out all fear. Well, the announcement is this: perfect love has arrived. In that baby that's laying there, in God incarnate, in Jesus, no matter what we face, and we face many things, but God has sent his Son. Perfect love has arrived. What's the next part of the declaration? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The word good tidings is a translation of good news. And of course, good news, we get the word gospel. I have good news. I have a message of good news for you. What's the message? The Savior has come. I was sitting down writing that down, thinking through, who is Jesus to me? And what does that mean? And of course, just for now, just a few things to capture that, and you can fill that in. But what does it mean? Why is it good news? Because, first of all, our Savior has come. I was lost. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and so were you. But the receiving of Jesus changed our entire destiny. What's the good news? There's salvation. Our Savior has come. Who's laying there? Our King. The King. Born King. Now his kingdom is yet to come and be established, but he's King now, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is our King. Not just some political ruler, not just some human. Don't put your faith in a man or a woman or and a political leader or something. Our King has come, the ruler of our hearts, if we give him rule. And it changes everything. Our King is laying there. Why is it good news? Because our Savior has come. Our King has come. Our hope has come. I often glom onto that word, grab onto that hope. Not hope like the world. The world says, well, I hope so. No, it's a sure hope, a sure and living hope we have in Jesus. It's a done deal. It's settled. Eternity's settled. Again, purpose is settled. Hope is settled. Our hope has come. Who's come? Our Jesus has come. And I don't know what else you'd write in there. I invite you to do so in this week, to think about it. Our Jesus has come. And so why is it good news for all those things? And notice the type of good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Not just happiness. Happiness is fine. There's a place for that. There's a place up in Anaheim that will offer you. They're the happiest place on earth. After you pay the entrance fee, you tell me if you're happy. And you pay $20 for the burger, and so you let me. But it's fun to go there. We love going there, and that's fine. But that's happiness. But joy, and not just joy. What kind of great joy? Abiding joy. Joy that no one can take away. Because see, and Jesus said that. He said, "I've said these things to you that you'd have joy." He comes that we might have joy. And so that's why it's a message of joy, great joy to all people, not just some certain group or nationality or income status. It's available to all people everywhere. Verse 11, the message is, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." So once again, we are called to think who lies there in the hay. And we understand it, and we can kind of take it in mentally, but I don't know if we really can. To think of who is lying there. In Matthew 1:18, it teaches us that of the Messiah, it would be declared of Jesus that he is Emmanuel, one name that would be given him. He would be called Emmanuel. And that's a word that's translated. It means God with us. That in that baby laying there, that's God, second person of the Trinity again. That's God lying there. Now, I don't know. I understand that, but boy, take that in. Think about that. God. And in Philippians it says he didn't think it was robbery, but he considered equal to the Father. And then came the day when no charge for the sound effects. But from laying all that aside and humiliating a baby, think of who's lying there. But that's key, that's God with us. Not just this isn't just a good man lying there. It's one who grew up to be a nice man or a prophet, a good teacher. No, it's God incarnate. It's God dwelling there. And why is that key? For only if this is truly God, if this is only truly God with us, can his blood atone for our sin. He has to be that sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he is. He can't just be a man who does nice things. For he is born as a baby on a mission. It's not just the birth. It's the full picture. His birth, death, burial, resurrection. It's all part of his mission. Only if this is God does the cross mean what it means when he's hanging there. That's how he's able to be called here, as they say, who is, it says, Christ the Lord. His name is Jesus. Christ is his title. It means the anointed one, the Messiah. He is that one, the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. In no other place is there salvation, but it is in this one. See, that's why it's good news. Good news. Don't ever get used to it. Don't ever take it for granted. Do you notice the you in all of this? It began by saying, I bring you good tidings. And next it says, born to you in this day, in the city of David. Don't miss that. The Lord came, first of all, very humbly, didn't he? Again, not in some big mansion or palace or something, but he came very humbly. He came very meekly. It tells us, again, in Philippians, that he humbled himself. And he came personally. God didn't send just a representative. He came. So he came humbly. He came meekly. And he came personally. Always take Christmas personally because it's intended to. He came for you and he came for me. Now let's read what happens next. We haven't read it yet, but let's look at it. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So first they're sitting around the fire there, talking to some other shepherds, making sure everything's going good with the sheep, when an angel shows up. Okay, I suspect right about then their chin is hitting the ground. Whoa. And then they hear the message. Whoa. But now the night sky explodes. There's an army of angels. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I'm on the ground really quick. Boom. I mean, they just went, whoa. The sky lights up. All these angels. What a choir. What a choir the shepherds heard that night. A whole host of angels proclaiming good news. Not proclaiming, you're fried. We've come to tell you, you're cooked. You've had it. No, just the opposite. You're the recipient of God and his love. And the whole angels are, just the host of angels are proclaiming it. The fields outside Bethlehem were now lighted as they never were before. And they were hearing things no hills had ever heard. Now read again the praise, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice there's two parts. The awesome anthem. This is a two-part song. The lyrics are short, but the angels of God are declaring it. The first thing, glory to God in the highest. They go right to the most important thing right away. glorifying God. For he's worthy to be glorified. Whether we understand what he's doing or we don't, whether it's a good circumstance or tough circumstances, we can know that God is for us and loves us, and he works all things for our good. Certain things are established about him. And we learn it's important to glorify God, the chief end of man, glorify God. No glory to man here. No attention focused on man's efforts. It doesn't say, glory to all you earth beings who've earned God's love. Glory to all you humans, your good has outweighed the bad, and you get to come into heaven. No. Because none of that's true. That's not what it's about. What are they declaring? They're saying, God has done all this. God has said, no man would ever think up, hey, let's have it be this way. Let's have God come here and save us. Let's have God become a man. Everybody else would go, who's going to believe that? But God did it. And so that's an awesome declaration here. He set this whole thing up. It's him reaching down to man. And think again. Think of how the angels must have been in awe of all that was happening. And so they've arrived, and they're declaring it. Glory to God in the highest. And the second part, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There, of course, is some discussion as to how that verse should be translated from the original. Our New King James says, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But we would not for a minute want to suggest that just that the fact that a Christmas gives, that therefore everything on earth is peaceful. There's no war. There's no terrorism. There's no murder. No, we know that's not the case. It's mentioned or it's spoken about that that many would translate this to really, it's peace to men of goodwill. Or others translate it to men to whom God is pleased with. But I know this. For those who receive this one who's come, for those who receive Jesus, really heart, not just practice religion, but heart receive Jesus the Savior. I know this, when he comes in, he brings peace in with him. He ushers peace into our lives. As I said earlier, he calms the fears and replaces it with peace. Peace with God, no more enemies, the sin factor dealt with, the gap spanned. He brings peace into our lives, and he brings the peace of God with him, the peace that passes understanding. So for those who respond to this message, receive the message, we give glory to God, and we receive that awesome, awesome peace. Now notice what the shepherds do, verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want us to think about the shepherds for a moment. Up in verse 12, notice this. The angel had said to them, and this will be the sign to you. We've given you this message. Now, if you want to go see the reality of the message, if you want to go see this one we just told you about, here's how you'll know who it is. This will be the sign. This will demonstrate the truth of what we're saying. This will be the sign to you. But you know what? It won't be what they expect. Again, we got to understand, they said, now, so make your way to the king's palace and go in there and see if they'll let you see the new baby born there or something. See, it's not the message that they might expect. It's not the way you might expect. It's not like they might have expected it to be. God often works in ways we don't expect. Oh, when he does go on away, we think that makes, oh, Lord, that makes sense. I agree with that. Oh, thank you. That's looking really good there. Oh, by the way, could you do this? And we go with that, but so often we don't get it. It's off our radar. I mean, this is so far from left field, it's in the bleachers. What? Now I'm going to go to a manger, a feeding trough, a baby. What? Just go. This is going to let you know it's of God. This, just go. So oftentimes, God's going to work in our life, in your life, in a way you don't expect. What's our part? Pay attention. Don't limit God. Don't try to put him in a box. Don't try to make him do what you want and the way you want. Just pay attention. And do what he says, because that's what they're about to do. Because look at verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away, they talked to each other and they go, let us now go and see it. The angels say we could go and see. Let's go find out. Let's now go and see. And then verse 16. And they came with haste and they what? They found. They found Mary. They found Joseph. And they found the babe lying in a manger. What do you know? God was and is telling the truth. Angels weren't deceiving them. We told you, you go there and you're going to find. Now think of that. They have to go. If they don't go to where he said they say they go, they won't find him. But if he's not there, there's nothing for them to find. But God brings them together. God brings them together. And so they go and found. You will find, and they found. Come to Jesus, you will find. The angel told, so I called our message this morning, this message, the good news of Christmas. I was real close to calling it, I told you so. Because that's the way I thought of it. I kept reading this about the angel. The angel could have said, didn't, but he could have said, I told you so. I'm just telling you what God said, and God doesn't lie. I told you so. The angel told them so. The message was from God. See, that's the message is true. It really is good news. It's good news of Christmas. He didn't come to just give us a day off from work and eat too much food and all that, which is fine if that's where you're at. No, he came for the truth of it. You see, they found the physical part true. There was a babe in the manger, etc. The call, now receive the spiritual part. Receive the gift of who the baby is, the salvation, the love he brings. Receive the life-changing part. So do they get the point? Verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And what? As it was told them. I told you. You found. It's just like it was told them. It is true. They went. They saw. And then they made known. They didn't keep the message to themselves. You don't keep good news to yourself. If it's really good news to you, if it's changed you, touched you, we understand the value of it. They went and told, they went and made known. And so everybody else just marveled at it. Whoa. But it doesn't stop just to making it known. Because it says then the next thing they do was, and they returned. How? They returned different than they started. They returned praising and glorifying God. Consider the journey that the shepherds took from verse 8 to verse 20. The life-changing version. Now think of it. Our receiving and acting upon who this message is about will change our whole lives, now and forever. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. But what about all the sick sheep? What about the problems in their home life? What about health problems? What about the recent drop in sheep prices? What about all those things that I'm sure they have to struggle with, just like we do? It doesn't say they didn't have those problems anymore, but something transcended it all. Something wanted to lift their eyes above it all. God wanted to give them something that would carry them through it all. It's not that we don't have those, but in spite of those things, good news, something transcends it all. And they got it. And they left there praising and glorifying God. Oh, Lord, help us get it. Because I don't want to make light of what any of you go through, myself included with you, what we all go through. And we go through much, much. But He steadies us and strengthens us and gives us hope and all the gift of God brings into our lives. The angel told them it would be so, and they found it to be so. You know, when it comes to telling, you all know that we're celebrating only half of the story this week, right? And I don't mean just the fact that come Easter we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm talking about the whole first coming. He's coming twice. So we look in the rearview mirror at the first coming, and we celebrate it, rightfully so. The angel said it would happen. It happened. We look at it, we celebrate it. But the message isn't done. There's a second coming, next time not as a baby, but returning as king to establish His rule and reign, His millennial kingdom, all believers there. Just think about it. He told us so, and it happened. He tells us now, and it will happen. So rejoice. It's all a part of the awesome Christmas, good news message of Christmas. The angel told us the good news of Christmas is true. Verse 11 is true. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The coming of Jesus into this world sets before everybody, every person, a decision. See, Jesus came because we needed a Savior. Matthew's account of Jesus' birth tells us why there's a Christmas. But while he thought, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is a contraction that means Jehovah is salvation. You see, he was given a name that described his very mission. His name is his mission. In him and only him is salvation. In who? For he will save his people from their sins. So his very name describes why he came. That's why there's a Christmas. I was talking to someone here last week, and they were pointing out, yes, we all have that. We love that saying that Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's appropriate because that means that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's who came. Jesus is the reason we celebrate. But in another way, we're the reason for the season. Or should I say, we're the reason for the reason for the season. Okay, kind of gets out there, but you understand the idea. He came. He's the reason we're celebrating. But why did he come? For us, to save us. We're the reason that there's this season. And we're the reason for him coming. Paul tells us in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. What we've earned, what we've all earned, what we deserve is separation from God. And that's where we were at. But then the gift. Gift is a gift from God. It's not something you earn or deserve or worked hard for or something. It's a gift. You're probably going to get some great gifts this week, maybe. I don't know. Hope there's some fun things under the tree for you, whatever. That's fine. But I don't care what you get. This far transcends it. This is way above that. The gift of God. What kind of gift does God give? Whoa. Not a car and a house and all. Well, he might bless you with that. But I'm just saying, the gift of God is what we really need. Eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. The very declaration of the angels. Here's your Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, it's from the crib to the cross. You can't separate the two. Jesus came to die for our sins. Then he rose again. He conquered sin, conquered death. So, what will we do about it? is the question. To receive God's gift is the pivotal decision for all mankind. That's the pivotal point that all have to come to. This morning, we welcome you if you're here considering the claims of Christ. Maybe you've been invited with family or friends or somebody, but you haven't ever really made that personal decision. Please hear this in love. You need this gift. We all need it, but have you received it? It's not really a complete deal till you open the gift and receive it. If you need to do that this morning, as we get into our worship time in a few moments, go to a prayer partner in the back corner here. Let one of our prayer partners know that, and they'll try to answer any questions you have. And if you're ready, they'd be glad to pray with you to receive the best gift ever given. But right now, for believers, if you have indeed received Christ as Savior, rejoice. Look at verses 10 and 11. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid anymore. For behold, look with your heart. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A message of great joy. See, may that be what marks us today and this week as we celebrate, but every day, always. What we celebrate this week is true every day, and may it mark our lives. But again, back to verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. I bet they did. The angel said, go and see. I told you. And they went and they saw it. Just as it told them, they saw the truth of it. What did the angels do on this occasion? It told us this whole thing. What? Back in verse 13, the heavenly hosts were praising God. What response did this find in the shepherds when they were done with this and saw that it was true, what the angels said was true? They glorified and praised God, it says in verse 20. So the angels were glorifying and praising God. The shepherds were glorifying and praising God. I'm going to invite the worship team up. The invitation? To join them. To join the angels, join the shepherds. Let's take some time right now and praise and worship God, for He truly is worthy. Thank God for the good news of Christmas. Father, as we take this time now to just as a church family and then just to sit before you, stand before you, we choose now to respond as the angels did, as the shepherds did. Lord, we want to, from our hearts, glorify you and praise you and give thanks to you. Thank you for the good news of Christmas. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for salvation and life and hope and all that's wrapped up in that best gift ever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.